I started reading a book called Controversial Issues in Social Policy. The title of the book increased my awareness of controversial issues in Bible doctrine. An example of a controversial issue in Bible doctrine is once saved, always saved, versus you must endure till the end. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order to accomplish that goal, I would highly recommend that before arriving at the whole truth, be sure that all the scriptures on a subject are collected in one place to be read together at one time. One great fault of many people is the acceptance of only part of the scriptures on a subject and the rejection of other passages that contradict their theory. Before I attempt to address the controversial issue of once saved, always saved, versus you must endure until the end, let me introduce you to how I think when I am reading scripture. The Bible says, or the Bible answers the question of why was this child born blind? Now, we could expect an answer that responds to the phenomenon which pertains to this child and her situation singularly, or we could expect an answer that responds to the principle that pertains to people in general. Which answer does the most good for the kingdom of heaven? Is it an answer that is a phenomenon or an answer that is a principle? I'm making on purpose and deliberate effort to look for a principle on a level of principles. Jesus could have said that this woman was born blind because sin is in the world. Adam sinned. And Adam's sin was imputed to this child. Jesus did not respond in that way. Nevertheless, I submit to you that Jesus did respond to the principle of why are people born blind. Based on Jesus' answer, I see that the question could just as well have been, why are people born blind instead of why was this child born blind? So that the glory of God can be revealed. So that Jesus, being a man, could heal this woman and God could get the glory. The reason why children are born sick is so that men could heal them and that God could get the glory. The things that I do, you will do also. As he is, so are you in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, some are given the gift of faith. Nevertheless, every man is given the measure of faith, and those who believe may lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those who believe what? Those who believe that Jesus is God. The Bible says in Romans 8:23 or 2:23 that the righteousness of God comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not by our faith, but by his faith. For our faith was as dirty rags. So Jesus gave or made available to every man the measure of his faith. Everything that Jesus did, he did using his faith. Therefore, if we have his faith, then surely we can do the things that he did. We had the imputation of sin, the imputation of righteousness, and now we have the imputation of faith. His faith. This is the next great awakening. Just as in the last great awakening, we came to the acknowledgement that of salvation by grace instead of by works. It was always in the scripture, but we were not always aware of it. We resisted it. Even now, we still resist the fact that we have access to Jesus's faith. When we truly are awakened by this realization and stop saying that Jesus was God, and because he was God, he had the full anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yet, we are not God. Therefore, we only have a partial access to his faith. This will be the next great awakening. Now, let's get back to the controversial issue of once saved, always saved, versus you must endure till the end. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order to accomplish that goal, I would highly recommend that before arriving at the whole truth, be sure that all the scriptures on a subject are collected in one place to be read together at one time. Again, one great fault with many people is the acceptance of only part of the scriptures on a subject and the rejection of other passages that contradict their theory. The Bible also says, I tell you these things that you might know that you have eternal life. So it is possible to know that you have eternal life before the end comes? This begs the question, what is knowledge? I submit to you that knowledge is a level of confidence supported by facts. I submit to you that to know you know something because you can make a claim and defend that claim because you have studied to show yourself approved, because you have participated in the come, let us reason together, because you have participated in the exercise of critical analysis, because you have gathered all the information about a subject and put all that information in one place to be read at the same time, because you have done your due diligence. I submit to you that the exception to the rule does not negate the rule, nor is the whole based on the exception. John 15:6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Then 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, as so as if by fire. I submit to you that the works of the saints are tested. If their works stand the test, then they are rewarded. If their works fail the test, then their gifts are burned, and they lose the reward that they would have gotten if their works had passed the test. Nevertheless, we do not lose our salvation, because our salvation is already declared. This seems to approach a baby Christian who's concerned with just meeting the minimum criteria of salvation, whatever that is. At the very least, this seems to suggest that once saved, it is very hard to lose our salvation. On the other hand, the Bible also says that in Matthew 7:23, "And that I will profess to them, that I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So there is a level of disobedience that results in God's declaring that he never knew you, or it is not a question of whether or not you fell from grace, but God says that you were never saved in the first place. Therefore, if you are content with meeting the minimum criteria, then you run the risk of never being confident that you ever met the criteria of salvation. You run the risk of being a victim of the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. I submit to you that my desire is to receive all the gifts that God has available to me. Here's a note on abiding and not abiding. Elijah was God's right-hand man, so much so that God sent a chariot to pick Elijah up, just as God took Enoch. Nevertheless, God gave Elijah 3 tasks to perform. Elijah performed one of those 3 tasks and left the other 2 tasks undone on purpose, which cost Elijah his ministry. And he was caught up or died in that state. That was an extreme example of not abiding. That is also an extreme example of the mercies of God. I am sure that Elijah did not come close to losing his salvation. Nevertheless, this is an example of not abiding. I am sure that Elijah lost some reward that he could have received, no matter how small. For the Bible says that ever since the beginning of time until now, there was none greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist. So, in some way, even the least of us in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, or have the ability to be greater than John the Baptist or Elijah. For the word says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. The violent or the passionate take the blessings that God has already granted us by force. So let it be. Amen.